a burden that keeps us going over the whole country and speaking to the brethren everywhere. It's a burden that we feel that we cannot stop and rest and forget it, because we are nearer now to the thing that we were talking about than when we first started talking about it. And it would be very foolish to give up at this time when everything, some of the things we've been talking about 10 years ago have just started to begin to come to pass. And we don't know, as we were talking this evening, if God kind of held back the time and lengthen out the time for us to work. But we see a response from the people now that we never saw before. And we also see a coming together of the body that we never saw before. And we also see a coming together of the enemy that we never saw before. In other words, tonight I want to speak to you about the voice of God in the end time. And if you turn your Bibles to John, let's start with John chapter 10. We notice that the Logos, the law laid down in the Word of God, is that Jesus Christ would speak to His people, and that His people would hear His voice, and that you can know God's people because God's people are going to follow God. See, if you look at verse 11, you will see here, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." You know, the knowing is in the Spirit of God, that not only God know us and we know God, but we know one another. And knowing one another, you know the voice of God in each other, so that you respond to the voice of God, not because there's a big booming voice from heaven coming down, not because you're hearing the Lord in your heart, but also because God is speaking somewhere else in the brethren. And as the brethren speak the Word of God, you can recognize it. As last night we said, that in the body of Christ we recognize no other voice but the voice of the Lord. We will not recognize the voice of a hired minister, a hireling. Now, there are two ministries in the world. One ministry is appointed by God Himself. No man made him. Another ministry goes to college, goes to the seminaries, and the different organizations have their own ministers. And one of the things about these ministers is that they are always fighting one another. One minister of one denomination will tell you that the other denomination is no good. But if you ask him what denomination is the best, he'll tell you his denomination. I never forgot the day when I was speaking to a Seventh-day Adventist. And she was trying to convince me that the Advent message is the only message that we should hear. So I said to her, you know, it's a wisdom that came from God. I just said to her, okay. I said, "I am willing to even fellowship with you on the basis of Christ, although you are an Adventist, if you can answer one question." I said, "If Jesus Christ should come here right now in the flesh, let us say Jesus Christ is here in the flesh, which church would he go to? Sunday morning comes and all the bells are ringing, which church would Jesus Christ walk into?" Amen. And she said, I said, "Listen now, don't answer me hastily. I want you to answer me from your heart, from the depths of your heart, not according to your religion or what you feel. Just answer me according to what you think God would answer." And she said, well, from the depths of my heart, I believe Jesus Christ would go into the Seventh-day Adventist church. And I said, you're not honest. I just couldn't deal with you. You know, she had said he would go to one church and to another and to another and to another. I'd say, well, that's human. Although that's not the truth, but that would be human. But she said he would go to the Adventist church and none other. And I said, it is not possible for me to reason with you. See what I'm saying? Now, what we are saying here is that in all this confusion, God has a voice. God is speaking to people. And God is speaking to the God-appointed ministries. And if you are feeding at a table, and it's not a God-appointed table, you are eating all the trash that is being dished out, and you will turn up either sick or dead. You see, the scriptures say that in the end time, that there is a star that falls from heaven. Let me finish read this before I go to that, okay? He said, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. And you turn around here to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Hallelujah. Now, this is very comforting to know that although we may have ups and downs, although we may batter to and fro, God is saying that you who are the sheep of God can never be plucked out of His hand. There is no power strong enough to pluck you out of the hand of Jesus. For it is not I who am holding God. It is God who is holding me. Hallelujah. You see, when you make a covenant with God, it is the covenant of blood that holds you. It's not you that being, I am going to remain a good Christian and I'm going to serve the Lord. It's not the I that's doing it. It's the covenant of blood between you and Jesus that no power on earth or in hell can break. See, and so the promise is from God. Now turn to your chapter 8 of Revelation. And let us look at a little at this point here. Verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now this is a parable. It's put in parabolic language. It is a vision that needs to be interpreted. So why third? Why the third angel? Why the third angel? The third angel would be the angel that speaks in the candlestick. The candlestick angel, that is the church. You see? And he's saying that this angel that say, come, come, be united with God, be one with the Lord, be a servant of the living God, that this angel, this time, this area of operation, that this angel would be sounding, and that somebody would be hearing something else, a voice coming from the church. When the Bible speaks of star falling from heaven, you don't think it means a natural star, don't you? Because if a natural star fall on the earth, that's where the Bible would be finished. One of those stars falling to the earth will be burnt up. So the Bible couldn't go any further to say anything else happened after that. There would be no force. So when you see the Bible speak of an angel falling from heaven, a star falling from heaven, he's talking about a man falling from his Christian stand from the heavenlies, from being a child of God, falling upon what he fell on. The rivers. The rivers. Now, come on. No one star could say fall on all the rivers over the world. Yeah. But he fall on the rivers and upon the fresh water. So it must be a spiritual vision that we're looking at. We see a man coming down, falling from his high position, and falling upon the Word of God. That's the water. You remember the scriptures speak of the washing of the water by the Word. So that's a clue. The Word of God is the water. See? Praise God. Now, scripture, John 3, speak of you must be born again of what? The water and of the Spirit. That's not talking about baptism. It's talking about the Word of God, the water and the Spirit. So here we have a star falling upon the water, the fresh water. And that is talking about a star, a man falling upon the Word of God and making it bitter. Now you see many new Bibles being printed, huh? Many, many, many new Bibles being printed. Many words are being given out. And a good deal of what is being put in some of these Bibles are not true. They are not true. They are being put out by people who want to preach a special doctrine. And many of them put their doctrine, weave their doctrine into the Bible to deceive. We heard that the communists are putting out a Bible. Imagine, who would want to read Bibles put out by communists anyhow? They don't believe in God, so why would I read their Bible? You know, I was taking the Reader's Digest. And for years, I have taken the Reader's Digest, though I read very little of it. Well, you know, sometimes the nice articles in it to be read. But lo and behold, the Reader's Digest say they're putting out a Bible. So I say, cancel my subscription. I don't want to read the Bible from the Reader's Digest. That's not their business. They don't know anything about Bible. And they're going to put out a Bible. You know, and they're going to tell me which is meat from bone. They say they're going to cut out all the bone and give me meat. Well, you know, I never like to eat chicken without bones. I don't like to eat anything, any meat at all without the bones. I like to see the bones. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, oh, well, that may be a little peculiarity. Just let's forget that. But coming back to the Word of God, we are seeing here that something in our time. Now, we are talking about the voice of God in the end time, in our time. And there are many voices and there are many things to happen in our time. What should we look for? Amen. First of all, we should look for the Word of God being twisted. Our Bible being twisted. I believe the day is coming when they're going to say, let me take away all these wretched Bibles from you and throw them all away and give you some new Bibles. Amen. You know, they're doing that with the libraries. You'd be shocked to know all the books in the libraries are being written over and all the matters that some people don't like are being taken out, and you are getting a new modern set of books. You'll never know the truth. Amen. In Russia, they rewrite history. You would be shocked to know. Go to Russia and you find that it was a Russian who invented the laser. You find it was a Russian who invented the radio. You will find it was a Russian. And you know, people can do these kind of things just to hold the people of their choice in bondage. And the Encyclopedia Britannica has been written over. It's been written over. And an agent came to my house and he said, you want a new encyclopedia? I said, yes, I need a new set, and so on and so on. We signed up the form. He said, well, you got to sign that you will give up your old set. Oh, yeah. I said, no, I'm not giving up my old set. He said, I give you $100 for your old set. Know what I mean? And this is what they do. They cut $100 off the bill so that you get. I said to him, what are you going to do with the old set? He said, I'm supposed to destroy it. I'm going to destroy it. See, so when you give them your old set, he must make sure that he burns it up. It goes into the fireplace. So we are saying that in the end time, then, what are we looking for? What do we expect to hear with our ears? We must hear from God. My sheep hear my voice. We must, the Bible says, know them that labor among you. You have to know those who are preaching to you. Know them that labor among you. And you must give them honor and double honor for laboring among you. I notice that the mail that comes in, it's all kinds of trash. Mail coming into your house. All kinds of people are vying for your attention. You are getting mail from every form of false doctrines. See, people who used to preach good doctrine are now preaching offshoot things. Many are going into reconciliation. Oh, don't worry, brother, God's going to save everything, even the devil himself is going to be saved. That is the new doctrine that seems to be just taking the people. You know why? I have discovered that everybody who sins, instead of repenting, they become a reconciliationist. Oh yes, because you can sin, it doesn't matter. God knows that I'm sinning and God will deliver me. And you keep on sinning and preaching and you just say, pray to God because I'll go to heaven anyhow. I'm going to be saved anyhow. Praise be to God. And so we find that there is a grave problem in our midst. The problem of deviation from the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ and from the simplicity of that gospel which God has given to us. Now, God said that in the end time there will be certain manifestations. Now, first question you ask me, how do we know for sure that we are in the end time? Let me draw a picture of time for you. A picture of time. The tabernacles hold the time to the end. This is the end of the age. And somewhere around here, supposed to be 2,000. 2,000 years after Jesus Christ. Now, we find that all these things have happened in the church. Salvation has been made clear. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptism, this is baptism, including the three baptism. Including the three baptisms. And the entering into Christ, candlestick, you find all different kinds of works going on in the name of Jesus. Everybody is working with the Lord. You know what I mean? And then you come to the showbread table, and knowledge has so increased that it is almost impossible to think of any more or any greater increase in knowledge. You go into any bookstore in the book, and you can buy, praise God, what's the proper pronunciation? Dubuque, okay. thank you, son. You go into any bookstore and you can buy Greek interlinear. Greek word, English word, Greek word, English word. Hebrew interlinear. You can see the Bible in many languages. You can see the original word for yourself. And you can understand it. You don't know Greek, you don't know Hebrew, but what the scholars had last time is what we have now, just common. Knowledge has certainly increased. There has been an explosion of knowledge in the past, since 1944, say 1943 because now it's 83. In 40 years, the explosion of knowledge has been so great that what has happened in 40 years surpassed all that happened in the past 2,000 years. See what I mean? Just 40 years. And the explosion has been so great that man has come from a little put one engine plane. Or maybe, he did have his four engine planes, but they were propeller driven planes to go into the moon, to go into Mars, to going beyond, even to Saturn, and all that. And that's nothing in comparison to the Star Wars effect that has come upon us. We have a picture called Star Wars. And you go and you are entertained, zap, zap, zap. Men are using missiles, a gun fires a missile from the mouth to the object. This is not using that anymore. They are using laser beams, shafts of light. And somebody would like to make you believe that's far away. It's right here. The reason they were able to put out Star Wars is because they had these equipment already in use. I never forget what happened down in Miami some months ago. It came on the evening show, and probably you see the same news show, that some laser beam guns were sent to a certain police station down in Miami for trial. And they demonstrated it on the television, pow, 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 breaking the bricks without a bullet, just with the laser beam. All right, the next day, the police station was attacked by a gang of men. And all the policemen were put down on their faces, and they searched the whole station to find these laser guns, only to find out that they had given the wrong information on the news. It was not that station, it was another station. But you see, that what I'm trying to say is that these things exist. It's not just Star Wars, it exists. Then they've gone beyond that. They've gone into the particle beam. Particle beam. We had a vision of seeing the particle beam working. We didn't know what it was. We never knew until about a year after, when they begin to talk about the particle beam. So that's what we saw. Here it is. Something was just over and over the city, and the whole city just went up into one great explosion. The particle beam is directed to one object, and the object, the atoms inside the object, begin to get wild and get slammed against themselves, and the person or the thing becomes a bomb. Explodes. You see, I'm just showing you the height to which science is gone. And what did God say about that? What did God say about that? Now, if you turn your Bibles to Daniel, chapter 9, and the verse 22 here speaks of I'm sorry, it's not 9, it's 8 I'm reading. Verse 22 here speaks of the Roman Empire being broken. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up and out of the nations, but not in his power. In other words, we see Greece, the Grecian Empire, verse 21, being broken in four pieces, and one piece become the Roman Empire. Amen. And it says, verse 23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full. When the transgressors are come to the full. Let's just look at that phraseology. What does it say? It says that man must transgress and transgress and transgress till he can transgress no more. That means he has come to his number six. 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 That's the fullness. That's the fullness of man. Three, good, better, best. And he cannot go to seven, because seven I'm talking about types in the scripture. Seven is the type of perfection. And so man cannot go to perfection, but he can go 666, which is the fullness of six. God is saying when man has reached to his fullness, something is going to happen. A man is going to come forward, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. See, so this is what we are looking for then, that this will happen in our time. But how are we going to know? Who is going to tell us? Turn around to Joel and look at that chapter 2 that speaks about the Holy Ghost. And you know, when I come to meeting, when I come to a meeting like this, I don't preach a message unless it is confirmed in the meeting. Did you know that? I'll sit down there and wait for you to sing or for somebody to prophesy or for somebody, and it generally is confirmed by the Spirit of God before. When you have a meeting that is low down and it's not moving in the Spirit, then you get no confirmation. But in this meeting tonight, I got the confirmation, and it confirmed many different points. And listen to this and you will know what was the confirmation. Blow ye the trumpet where? In Zion. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain. What is this saying? This is saying that the sound of God, the trumpet of God, the knowledge of what's happening is going to come to the people who are called Zion. Now, what do we mean by Zion? Again, we're going into types. Israel is the Christian people, right? Israel is a type of the Christians. But Jerusalem is a type of the holy place Christians, those who walk a little closer with God. But Zion is a type of the Holy of Holies. So God is saying those who are walking very close to him will hear the trumpet. And you will hear it before the others hear it. You get it? So there is a trumpet that is blowing, and only the people of God who walk close to God will hear that trumpet. He said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. See, let all inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. So near to the day of the Lord, Zion is going to be hearing a trumpet. And one of the things that Zion is going to see and hear is the coming of the Antichrist, the coming of the one world church, the coming of the one world government, because all this is being worked up. It's so very simple. Look out there with me. Look at the what's happening between the United States and Russia, because the United States and Russia, between them both, they are controlling the world, the whole power, world power. Now, what's happening between them? We see great fear coming forth between the United States and Russia. Great fear. I mean, I have seen fear on that television more than I had ever seen it among the American people ever. I never knew that the people could be so afraid. The people, some people begin to buy huts up in the mountains and in the hills. They are escaping from atomic warfare. And we saw a man come on the television and tell of the horror. And so some people are saying, it's better red than dead. You ever heard all those talk? And fear is really taking the people everywhere. Amen. But I understand that the same fear is taking the Russian people. Amen. And the fear is taking all the people all over the world. Europe is absolutely terrified. You know, the Europeans want to make peace right now. You know what this fear is going to do? It's going to cause them to come together one of these days. If somebody ever let off an A-bomb, everybody would want peace immediately. Amen. Because it's one of the most horrible things that has happened to mankind. One of the most horrible things that has happened to humanity is that they invented, and I believe the devil has really put it in their hands, the bomb, that great destructive force, so that the whole of humanity can be destroyed at a moment's notice. But of course, Jesus gave us his word. He says it won't ever happen. He says, I will shorten the time. See, we're going to read that. But let us understand what we are looking at here. So let's look at Matthew then, and see what Jesus had to say about our time in which we live. Because the time in which we live is... only three times have been like this time in the history of the world. The first one was Noah's time. Just before the earth was destroyed by the flood, there were people eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, having a wonderful time and not caring what was happening. Though the preaching was going forth that there is going to be a flood, they did not believe it. They were still having a wonderful time. Then the flood came and took them all away, and only 8 people were saved, and God promised he would never let that happen again. But there was another time when mankind again was on the brink, when Jesus came and Jesus began to minister to them, and they wouldn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. Again, it was a time very, very auspicious in the history of the world. But this time is the last one, because this is the third time, and when it is done for the third time, it's going to have to be the fullness of all things. So at this time, we are hearing that there is going to be war and rumors of war. There's going to be destruction upon destruction, that millions and millions of people will be killed and destroyed, that the devil is setting up a kingdom, that there is an antichrist coming forth, and it goes through one ear and comes through the other. And they have doctrines to counteract it. They have a doctrine saying, don't worry, brother, don't worry, sister, we're all going to fly away. See, we're all going to, that's what we call the escapist doctrine. And many people are saying it's pre-trib. Before the tribulation, God's going to just swoop down in a fiery chariot and swoop us all up into heaven. And then we hear that somebody said, no, it's mid-trib. It's mid-trib. At midnight, we're going to be all caught up. And somebody said, it's post-trib. It's after the tribulation, we're going to be all caught up. Now, the story is that it is all designed to deceive you. Amen. Now, when they see the tribulation heavy on us, as it is now, and they see things getting more serious, most of the people have stopped preaching pre-trib. See, they are now saying, oh, well, in the middle of the tribulation, we are going to be caught out. We're going to be taken out. So the truth is, brethren, that we are going to be lifted up in the spirit but not taken out physically. That we will be here and overcoming. Now, the problem about that doctrine is that some people say we do believe that, but they're not prepared for it. Phew. How are you going to overcome if you are in the condition that most of us are in tonight? Amen. You see, what is happening is that there is persecution going on in the earth tonight, and we are hiding it. Every media that can get a chance to hide the persecution is hiding it. Out in California, they closed down 52 churches some 2 years ago, and they even closed down our operation there. and nobody ever knew. It never got into the papers. I saw one little piece in a paper there because one brother, he made a stink over it. And, you know, he put the government in court, and he, when Mr. Reagan became president, he won his case. Now, I don't know if that's why he won his case, but I'm telling you, they had such a power over there, and they were going after every little group and every little church, that you realize that it must have been coming in from the very head of government. See, and soon as the Reagan administration got in, they eased up. And they let loose the Worldwide Church of God, and they let loose Brother Scott, and they gave him back his radio station and whatever they were seizing. But I'm saying that to say this, that we need to hear God's voice at this time and to know what we are hearing. Now, because remember, there are many voices telling us many different things. Now, in Matthew 24, and Jesus gave a summary of all that would happen here. In from verse 7, he said, "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto to all nations, and then shall the end come." You see, he gave you the whole what you call a summary. Then he's going into details in verse 15. Now, let me see where we are then. You want to ask a question, how do we know we are in the end time? We are sure we are past this. You'd say amen, right? Because that's salvation message. We're sure we have come into the baptism of the Holy Ghost message. We are sure we have come into the place where men begin to work with God as one unit, God and man working together. And we are sure we have come into the showbread, the bread, eating, feeding at the table of God. But this is where we're not sure. We are not sure that we have accomplished this. Why? Because this is the offering of the soul. That our soul nature, our mind, our emotions, our will, our own operations, our gifts of the Spirit need to be given back to God. For God to use the gift of the Spirit, and not for us to use it in ourselves. In other words, we have not stopped building churches. We have not stopped doing our own thing. So this area is where we are now, it would seem. Amen. Because another thing makes us sure that we haven't passed this yet, because we haven't got into the holiest of all yet. You know what would happen when we get into the holiest of all? We break through the veil. We break through the veil. And the veil, that means we would be inside of the Father. That means Jesus Christ would already have come within us in all his fullness. There would be a breakthrough between your mind and your spirit. Follow what I mean? We wouldn't be able to think evil anymore. We would have passed through. Now, if you know anybody who has gone through that already, you tell me about it. You see, do you know? See, we have not gone through here. So we know that we have passed here, but we have not got here yet. So where are we? right somewhere here. You see what I'm saying? Now, if that then is 1983. See, at least we can identify time where we are. Now, if we can identify time, we will identify what God is asking us to do right now. See, Apart from the soul surrender to God, it would seem that the things that are to happen in the world, we must read it now and find out, is this happening right in our midst? 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now, we talk about Zion, and we talk about symbolic talk. Zion is Mount Zion, right? It's the mountain. So God said, when these things begin to happen, flee into the mountains. But let us look at Daniel to see what Daniel said. Because he said, just like it said in Daniel, let's make sure that Daniel said the same thing, you know, that we can understand exactly. And so we find that in Daniel chapter 8. You say abomination that maketh desolate. If you take verse 13, then I heard one saint speaking one to another, saying, say unto a certain saint which spake, how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden on the feet? You notice you changed the word here to what? Transgression of desolation. You see that? So an abomination is a sin. It's a sin, a transgression. Turn your Bibles to 9. Daniel 9. And the desolations are in verse 26 and 27. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, let's see if we can identify what this is saying. Anybody has a clue? When you read it, do you think you understand what verse 26 says? Who? Okay, let me explain to you what it says. Do you remember that in Matthew 24, the brethren asked Jesus, tell us, when the temple is going to be destroyed? You remember? Because Jesus said, not one stone will be left standing on another. He said, tell us, when will the temple be destroyed? Tell us, when will be the end of the world? Tell us, when you will return? Three things he asked. Now, this here is telling us who is going to destroy the temple. But it so happened that Daniel was written how many years? About 538 years before Jesus said that. And the temple was destroyed 7 years after Jesus. 70 years after Jesus. That's what I meant. Are you with me?
From his resurrection, 40 years after his
resurrection. 70 years.
After his birth, but 40 years after his death and resurrection.
Not four?
40.
Oh, 40 you said. Okay. Hallelujah. No, it couldn't be 40. And I tell you why.
70 AD.
After the death. AD Anno Domini means after the death of Jesus. So, and it has to be because Paul died around 69 or 70, you see, and Paul prophesied that the brethren should get out of Jerusalem because it was going to be destroyed, and Titus moved in after Paul, you see. So the story is that Titus, the Roman general, destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. Now, if you look back at this verse 26, you'll see the clue. The clue said the people who destroy the temple will be the people of the Antichrist. Go back and read. Somebody read it for me.
After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off.
That's the death of Jesus, okay? All right.
But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary.
Right. The prince that shall come means the Antichrist. See, and his people will destroy the temple. So we see that the Antichrist is coming out of that same army that destroyed the temple. It's got to be a Roman. See, it's got to be Roman. Now, remember, first of all, we saw the Roman kingdom. There was Babylon, then Persia, then Greek under Alexander the Great, then Rome. See, and Rome goes right from the knees, from the waist, right down to the toes. But at the toes, it was mixed with iron and clay. You remember I'm talking about the image of Daniel in Daniel 2. Okay, now if we can understand that, we can understand the rest of it. It says that the abomination is going to make desolate the world. And Jesus said the abomination of desolation. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about an abomination of sin. He was talking about desolation, destruction. So he was saying that there is an abomination on the board for you. Look at this word. Re. And that's a prefix, right? That has nothing to do with the root of the word. Bel. The root word is Bel. The root word is Bel. And this is the word that God hates. Bel is the Kalic language. Bel is Hebrew. See, Baal is a Kalic, Bel is Hebrew. But we come down to Latin and the word is Bellum. Bellum meaning war. You see, and you come down to English and you have Bellicose, C-O-U-S-E. See, and it is the same Bel. This is the root. 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 And they all come from the same thing. Now, what God is talking about, that we have rebellion in the world against the authority and the government of God. God puts up divine government, or what we call theocratic government. Men put up democratic government, an autocratic government, and all kinds of cratic governments. Amen. And these governments are all in opposition to having God rule over us. You know, for instance, never vote in your churches. Voting is a rebellion against God. Did you know that? When you want an elder, when you want somebody to put in an office, a treasurer, don't vote. Just hear from God who the treasurer is. Hear from God who the elder is. And if you can't hear the whole church pray, God must answer. You see, the reason is, if you notice, somebody is going to say, well, brother says, didn't they vote in the Bible? Anybody remember any place where they voted?
The pick straws at one time.
Pick straws? Where that, bro?
No, well, when they were choosing the cast lot, X1.
Where they were choosing Lot. The cast lot, where they were choosing Matthias to be an apostle. Now, what a cruel, stupid thing to do. because they didn't know better. They weren't yet baptized in the Holy Ghost. Peter get up and said, remember, it is written in the Psalms that God says that his bishopric shall be taken away and another shall take his office. Therefore, let us now get another person to fill his office. That was a mistake. You know why? The Bible says God has placed in his church apostles. How dare you vote in an apostle? You can't do that. Nobody can appoint an apostle. The only people that are appointing apostles is the church. Did you hear a Pentecostal church now that is changing up the names of all their ministers to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers? You didn't hear that? Oh, you know why? Because you're in the book. That was under the belt. Hallelujah. Yes, if you were out there where all these Protestant churches are, you would have known what is going on in the headquarters. Anyhow. But Baalism is what we call it. Baalism is when you reject the rulership of God over you and you accept something else. Because there's no way to reject God without accepting something else. You see, I didn't know that until the Lord Jesus told me personally that if you reject me, you're going to accept, you're accepting the devil. Automatically, there's no vacuum. You reject what God says, what God is doing, you're automatically accepting something else. And so, Baal worship, or rebellion, God says, it's like witchcraft. He said, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. You are dealing with another god, a demon god. That's witchcraft. Dealing with demons. And so God is saying to us then that we go back around to Matthew, and Jesus is saying that when you shall see this rebellion standing up. Now, there was always rebellion in the church, but rebellion never took charge of the church. And you see, you have three sections of the church here. Outer court church, you have holy place church, and you have holy of holies church. And what did Jesus say in the verse 15? Where did he say that the rebellion is going to stand up? In the holy place church. Now, what is the holy place church? The holy place church is a church that has the Holy Ghost. That has the Holy Ghost. The church that has been feeding on Christ, and the church that is moving into surrender of their minds and their emotions and things to God. Now, first of all, you have a doctrine coming inside of a holy place church to tell you to you have to go under your covering. You have to have men as your covering. See? So, you see, you put a canopy over the candlestick. The church must be under a covering that is not a spirit covering. Now, this is the only covering that God puts in the Bible, and that is a covering of pure gold, which is a covering of the divine nature of God. Man cannot be covered by man. Amen? Amen. Then you come again and under the guise of feeding upon Christ, you begin to get spurious meat. Not Christ coming from the brethren. You are getting here men who are appointed by the church system. From the table of God, you are getting teachings with not God appointed fivefold ministry, but man appointed usurping ministries. And the usurping ministries are so much, so many, that you cannot actually even sometimes know the difference between a usurping ministry and a God-sent ministry, except what you're feeling here. So you are going to have to reverse right back to what you're feeling here. A brother sent me a book to read. And not a book, it's a monthly magazine. And this brother sends out this monthly magazine. And I help the brothers first start to send out this monthly magazine. The unfortunate thing. And I pick up the magazine to read, and something in here began to pain me. I couldn't read it. I picked up 4 or 5 times, just want to see what the brother is saying. And my spirit is so upset and so hurt, I cannot read the magazine. See, it means that the thing is not coming from God. The table must either be spread of God or be spread of somebody else, which is generally the devil. See, the devil uses people. So what tables are you feeding from? Stop, feed from some of the tables you are feeding from. I picked up a magazine that used to be good years ago. The brother used to be a very powerful brother writing for the Lord and coming right. And the brother write in this month's magazine that Satan, that Lucifer is Adam. The word Lucifer in the Bible is Adam. And he is down on preaching to us that, Lucifer is Adam, and Jesus came as Adam, and Jesus fell and went back and came as Jesus. You ever heard that one? Yes. Well, hallelujah. That's what they're saying. That's what he's writing. But you know what's happening? What is happening is that another spirit is ministering to the church through channels that you used to get good ministry from. And the only thing you're going to have to use to deliver yourself is the Christ inside of you. My Christ not going to help you. You're going to have to know them that labor among you and know that it's God speaking through them and not respecter of persons. Let me just touch back on that for you. You see that chapter 28 of Ezekiel. I'm sorry, not 28. 14 of Isaiah. The chapter 14 of Isaiah. And verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen, O what?" Anybody has any other translation Bible here beside the King James?
Amplified.
What does the Amplified say? Verse 12, chapter 14, Isaiah. Somebody read the Amplified for me as soon as you get it. Verse 12.
14:12.
What it says?
How are you fallen from heaven, O light bringer and day star, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened and laid prostrate the nations, O blasphemous, satanic king of Babylon.
Oh, all right, brother. Do you know what the Hebrew says? The Hebrew said, "How art thou fallen, O HLL." That's what it says. Sorry, that would be L. How art thou fallen, O Hillel? And of course, the word Hillel means bright one, bright one, shining one. How art thou fallen? And they turn Hillel into Lucifer. Huh? Can you imagine that? Why was it done? Now Lucifer, let me write that word for you. L-U You know what it looks like? What does it look like to you? The root of Lucifer is Lux, L-U-X, and that means light, and it's Latin. It's Latin. The E-R here is a Latin ending for a third declension noun. It Lucifer is not, wasn't there when the Bible was being written. Now ask yourself the question, why would anybody change a word like that? You know why? Because Lucifer is the morning star. And because the Saturnalians, the Romans worship the stars and the heavenly bodies. So Lucifer is a god of Rome. Amen. Lucifer is a god of Rome, and they worship that, and they put Lucifer there. All of a sudden, the god of Rome was in heaven. Don't you understand? As a shining one. They legalize the whole situation by legalize the Roman god business by saying that god who is the morning star was one time a bright angel in heaven. Then in Revelation there's a word saying Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star. Do you hear that? Do you know that I've gone to services where brethren get up and say, "Thank God, I am Lucifer." You ever heard that? Anybody here? You haven't been around much, have you? Praise God. Well, I could have gone through the floor when I sit down, you know, a little sister girl, say, "Thank God, I'm Lucifer." Bright and morning star. Amen. But praise be to God. Deception is going around, and that is part of Baalism. The mixture that we have in the church today is nothing but Baal worship. You're mixing two gods together. You're mixing the worship of God with the worship of the devil. And God wants a pure people. God wants us to put aside all the mixture and come and worship Him in purity and in spirit and in truth. That's the only pure way, in spirit and in truth. So we are right here then, and if we are right here then we are in danger. For you know what this point is, this point here, you know what that point is? When you break through the veil, it is midnight. It is the coming of Jesus. Did you know that? Let me write it for you. This here. Coming of Christ. I don't know if you really notice how near we are to the coming of Christ. Because if we are here, if at this time God is asking you to give up your old soul nature, give up all your, you know, your ways, give up into God's hand, let God reign and rule over you. If God is asking you this at this time, then it must be that we are coming, the coming of Christ is very near. Let me give you another point. If you want to watch when God is speaking something to His church, you watch the false doctrines that come forth. You remember recently a doctrine came forth how you can go into the holiest of all by faith? You didn't hear that one either? Oh my goodness, you have been sheltered. That swept through this country like wildfire. brethren were jumping the height in the church and saying, thank God I've gone through the veil. You know, amen. Because there the scriptures say we can go boldly to the throne of grace, and he has made a way for us through the veil, not understanding that you only go through the veil in your mind when you turn your heart to God and you are in the Spirit. You are actually in the presence of the Lord, so you are in the holiest of all, but you don't live in there. You can't stay in there, you see. But when you talk about going through the veil, you're talking about midnight, when Jesus Christ comes in all his fullness and take you out of yourself completely, and you are an absolutely new creature or a new creation. Hallelujah. So here is the problem then. It's a real problem. If we are right here, what kind of people ought we to be? Are you just going to drift along in the way we are doing, or are we going to get very diligent with the Lord Jesus Christ? You see what I'm saying? If we are at the verge of midnight, if we are at this point of going through the veil into the holiest of all, then it would seem that something's going to happen suddenly to some people, and some people won't even know that it happened. Can you understand that? That Jesus is coming suddenly to his temple, and that half of the church won't know what has happened. They will still be there keeping church. Amen. Getting ready to go to church Sunday morning. Hallelujah. And going to church Sunday morning when Jesus Christ has already come and the door is shut. Now that's a peculiar word in the Bible. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, it says that the five virgins went out to seek oil. And don't forget, five is a ministry. You have a foolish virgin and you have a foolish ministry. And the foolish ministry is leading the foolish virgins where all fools go. Oh yes. Because the fool had said in his heart, there's no God. So actually what's happening to the church is that the church is at this moment splitting right in two. Amen. And we see, remember, the trumpet shall sound where? In Zion. We see the Antichrist coming forth. We see the Antichrist. And if you don't see the Antichrist, go and pray to God. We were up in Minneapolis, and I was preaching in a convention, and a sister came to me and said, I would like to have a talk with you. And she said, I was in a meeting and I saw people raise their hands and begin to praise God. And she said, I got up and raised my hands and was praising God, and God said to me, you are witnessing the Antichrist. And she said she fell backwards upon her seat and said, what? And a voice came to her again and said, you are witnessing the Antichrist. You see, the Antichrist doesn't go and say, I don't believe in Christ. The Antichrist said, I am Christ. We are the true people. See what I mean? This is what Nimrod did. He was called Baal. You know, when I asked God, how come Nimrod's name was only mentioned once in the scriptures and never again? God said, you look up all the words Baal, Bel, and you will understand why Nimrod wasn't mentioned anymore. Because they called him Lord Baal. They didn't call him Nimrod anymore. Do you understand? So you go read up your Bible and see Baal worship, what Baal worship is. It's a mixture of God and the devil. And what he did was to mix the church with the heathen. And this mixture has been going on for what, 2,000 years? And we are at the very end of the mixture. And it's bad. It's so bad that you can hardly differentiate between the true church and the false. You see brethren worshiping over here? They sound good. They praise God. Amen. We know a certain church where they praise God. It's the prettiest, loveliest praise you ever heard. Music going. And the man who is leading the church is a medium. You know what a medium is? One who deals with evil spirits. And you dare not tell those people that because the people are blind, they are not seeking God for themselves. If you have Jesus Christ in you, you are not supposed to be able to sit down with a medium and have fellowship. See? And this is where we are in trouble. You see, first of all, the eldership hold the people down. Listen to me, he said. And if you're going to listen to me, then you don't have any ears for Jesus Christ. The eldership should be saying to the people, listen to Christ. When you come in the congregation, listen for Christ. If somebody gets up in the congregation and speaks without Christ, you are able to correct him and say, brother, it wasn't Jesus I was hearing. Something is wrong. You need repentance or something. I've known homosexuals that preach to people, have big churches, and the people never know that they are that they're unclean people. Why? Because the people are not hearing Christ. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He said, the abomination of desolation is going to stand up in the holy place. So what about ecumenism? What's going to happen if all these unclean birds get together? Don't you see? Ecumenism, they're not saying, oh, we don't want you and we don't want you. They say, let's all come together. Good, bad, and indifferent. Hallelujah. What you get? Bad. Amen. You mix your clean with dirty, and what you get? Dirty. The clean will never make the dirty clean. Oh yes, the clean will never make the dirty clean. The dirty is always making the clean dirty. Praise God. See, plus and minus is minus. And so we are witnessing, that's the problem. We are witnessing something here. In our time, in our day, as we walk about the street, as we read our newspapers. I am reading newspapers. I'm looking at news. And it's one thing I'm looking for is the witness of the beast and the false prophet and the progress. Because the more they progress, the more I know we are closer. You see, Jesus said, didn't it occur funny to you that Jesus didn't give us a sign from heaven? He said, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation standing up in the church. Don't you understand? I've seen all these men going astray. See? I've seen all these men going astray. I've seen all our leaders, all our Pentecostal leaders, our evangelical leaders, and denominational leaders. They are all going astray, joining the church together into one. And thus said the Lord God, the Bible tell you there was going to come forth a one world church that would speak with the voice of the world. I'm quoting from the 13th chapter of Revelation, verse 11. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says a lamb would come forth that spoke like a dragon. A church that its voice was the voice of the world, the voice of the one world government. Seven heads and 10 horns, and those are the 10 horns, the 10 toes of the image of Daniel. How long ago? See, 2,500 years ago, a man prophesied. 2,500 years ago, a man prophesied that in the time of the end, in the time of the end, we would see a manifestation in the world. And look here, we are right here seeing the manifestation and not seeing it. Isn't that peculiar? God wants the people of God to escape from this thing. See, the whole denominational church is not of God. Any good Baptists here? The whole denominational church is not of God. The reason is they prevent God moving in them and bringing them into a place of safety. Because God cannot defend the outer court. How is God going to defend a person who won't hear him? Come on now. You tell him run to the east, he gone west. You tell him go to the north, he gone south. Now, how is God going to defend him? God cannot defend them. God says the outer court will be given to the Gentiles to be trampled on the feet. And you ask when? Very, very soon. I have seen God holding back and holding back and holding back. Do you know that the attack up in Lebanon by the Israeli attacking Lebanon last year, October, it held back the destruction that should come, would have come, if they had not done it? Do you know that when they went up there, they found that there was a plan, a plot to attack the whole Middle East, and there was equipment there for a 400,000 man army. Equipment for a 400,000 man army. You're not talking about PLO now. You see what I mean? You're not talking about PLO. You are talking about something bigger than the PLO. Now, their hand has been exposed. The Jews went up in there and tore out all that thing, and they had to replace it. And now they are doing it publicly because Russians are there now standing facing the Israel troops. The Russians have sent their army in to man all the weaponry and the aircraft because they felt that the Syrians weren't doing it well enough. And the next clash there, you're going to see something that we didn't bargain for. For when the Israelis beat the Russians, they are going to just come out in the open. But that thing was stopped down in October. You see, it was stopped in October. Because God knows that if they had moved in on Israel, the United States would have to go in. And so God held it back. So I see a hand restraining in the world. You see, I see a hand restraining, and this hand is holding back the satanic forces from coming forward, because the Bible said he would hold him back until the Antichrist comes. Did you know that? I've preached it many times, but you know, I don't mind preaching one thing 1,000 times. Do you mind hearing it? Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians. This is written so far, way down there. Way down there, before AD 70. Here we are. He says, let no man deceive you, verse 3, by any means, for that day, the coming of Jesus, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, we have seen the falling away, right? The apostasy. Now that word, A-P-O-S-T-A, apostasy. I should have wiped out that and written it. A-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-A. That is the Greek word. And it does not mean falling away. It means rebellion. You know why? Read the Amplified. And it's not verse 3. Let's hear what verse 3 says in the Amplified.
Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first. That is, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come, and the man of lawlessness, sin, is revealed.
Quiet. You see, so then the man of lawlessness must come forth. But the question is, where is he supposed to come forth? The Bible, where is the Bible telling you that this man of sin is coming forth? You see, Jesus says it's a holy place. But let's see what Paul said. Read the seventh verse.
For the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority, is already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains is taken out of the way.
No, that last phrase is wrong. The translation is definitely wrong, and there's a reason why it is like that. But let's not dwell on that right now. Let's see that who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, verse 4, so that he as called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth where? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this falling away, this apostasy is coming by a man rising up in the church and say we must worship him because he is Jesus Christ. He is God. Now we have heard many men say this, but this one is a worldwide one that everybody is going to see that he's saying he is God. Now this apostasy, this word here, it does not mean falling away, because falling away is something like you slide or you slip and you fall. But apostasy is rebellion, that you deliberately bring in Baal into the church. Deliberately. It's a deliberate action. And this says, the phrase in verse 7, which says, what does it say here? Taken out of the way. Now, if it is the Holy Ghost that is restraining, that is holding back the devil, don't you see this verse would say that the Holy Ghost is going to be taken away, out of the way, removed from the earth? Which it is not true. It's a lie. You see, the reason they put that, here we have the words in Greek. Until is correct. Then we have a word called ek, out of. Mesu. Mids. G-E-N-E. Gene. You notice that? The root is gene. G-E-N-E. And it has to do with birth. See? Now, let's read it then. He that letteth will let until out of the mid, until out of mid's birth. The problem about that is that the word is indicting the church. He's saying that the church is going to fall and fall and fall, or apostatize, go away from God, away from God, away from God, until the Antichrist is going to come up in the church. So the church is going to produce the Antichrist. A lot of brethren, you remember in time past, was saying that, oh, the Antichrist is going to be a Jew. The next one says he's going to be a Russian. The next one says he's Hitler. Those could not be the Antichrist. The Antichrist is coming out of the very church that we belong to. In the midst, he's going to rise up in the holy place church, not even in the outer court church. He's not rising up in the among the people who say they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's not arising in those people. He's arising up in here, in the midst here, where we believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where we believe in the Spirit, where we believe in walking in truth with God. So if you have no discernment, you are a goner. Yes. Okay, go read down further, because it says that he's going to have signs and wonders. And the scriptures clearly say that it's coming, the word energete, which means working, the word used for work, is an undercover work, like how termites work under a building. That's what it means here. The secret, lawless one is coming in secret. Now read 7 for me, somebody. Sorry, 8.
And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders.
You see, so we're talking about a miracle worker. Now some of you brethren love to see miracles. If a man come in here and start healing the sick and doing all these miracles, I mean, oh man, you couldn't keep a meeting like that in here. You'd have to go get the auditorium somewhere out of the school or something like that to put people, because it would be crowded with people just to see the miracles. So it is an easy thing to catch people by miracles. So this man is coming in our midst, and he's coming working miracles, and he's very near at hand. Yes, go ahead.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie.
Yeah, you see, the miracles will be a lie, and yet they're going to believe it. I mean, in my time, I've been shocked. You know, really shocked. I've seen some miracles that you thought it was only God would do it, and yet I know the people that they don't live a holy life at all. Men living in sin just walk right out of sin and touch a man in the name of the Lord, and he's healed. You see, it is all a scam. And the scam work with the devil and the man. The devil make the people sick, and he goes and release them. and you know, it's a scam. And it work just like men, you know, what you call those men that work like that, con men. God. You see, it's all a con man's trick. You got your man, your assistant, con man, and he comes like a stranger. And here he comes, and he begin to encourage his brother to bet you on something, and the both of you con him, and you walk in one direction and he walks in another, and you meet around the corner and share it. The devil put the sickness onto the people, and the devil get his man to release the people and make it look like the man is great, and so you believe this man is a very, very, very great healer, when he's only moving by the spirit of the devil. And this is what we are in, brethren. I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to ask you to respond if you feel like, because we could have a few minutes of question and answers if you so feel to do. So God bless you.
If I get this right, it seems apparent to me that this rebellion, in not only in the Antichrist, but his...
In us.
In us.
Yes.
Is a deliberate affront against the will of God. In other words, you
Amen.
Have to know the will of God first before you could deny
Before you could rebel.
Before you could rebel. So this, mm-hmm. the Antichrist and the whole thing is they know they are in total... They are saying they are with God, but yet in real actuality, they know they are not with Him.
Yeah, but they deceive themselves. Remember, God said He'll send them strong delusions. That is a person who knows the will of God and refuses the will of God. He goes, you know what I've seen? I've seen God trying to deal with a Christian. And the Christian, instead of allowing God to deal with him, he moves from that church and go to another. That will say what he wants to say and where he can do his thing and be free. See what I'm saying? So it's a deliberate act. But after a while, they get so deceived that they are totally deceived. They believe they're right.
So then would the truth first have to come? Like this verse caught my eye tonight. It said, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved.
Yes.
So truth would first have to come before...
Must
the
first come...
To make the game fair.
To make it fair, yeah. Praise God. Yes.
I talked about the 10 virgins.
Okay. Yes, the 10 virgins.
Okay. Now they were virgins.
All good people.
Amen. Now, Christ appeared to 5.
Yes.
Came in 5. The other ones were virgins.
Yes.
They ran out of oil.
Yeah.
Now that puts them on the outside. Look them in.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean they lost.
No, they lose their position. No more bride.
Okay.
They lost the being in the bride class, and they are now in another class of persons which will come in after the bride. If you notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 21, the Spirit speak about the first fruits is Christ. So you can know if you are in the first fruits company. You can know if you're in the first fruits company if you are under the leadership or the headship of Christ. See?
Okay.
Quiet. Now that's the first fruits company.
Okay.
That class. Yes.
Then, going from there, those that are left, per se, on the outside are more or less the outer court, with the outer court trampled under.
In that dimension, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This is in that word apostasia.
Yes.
Now that all the broader context of that rebellion, referring to apostasia, is mm-hmm. the fact that those people, or that word also stands for those that appear to stand where they once did, but somehow deviated just slightly enough not to be where they originally were. If you
yeah.
know the meaning of that.
But it's. You're not saying it is a slight rebellion, but it is a rebellion with a certain amount of cunning craftiness that makes it look like they are all right when they are really off center. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, it gives in other words, they once stood in, say, at point A.
You have to
in
be
the center. But they appear to be at A, but actually they're deviated from A.
Yes.
They're not heading directly for A, they're going off to that way.
Yeah, well, that is exactly what happened.